It was Thanksgiving.
We'll go ahead and tell them because we're recording.
Oh, we're going to start off hot like that, huh?
Hot mic.
Well, there's a couple things that are going to be different about this one, I guess. Number one, no format today, fellas. We're still going to talk about sports, but that's about it. I don't know what direction we're going to go. I don't know how we're going to get to where we're going, but no format. Second thing, it's Coach Nolan's birthday.
Yeah!
Happy birthday, Nolan. Happy birthday.
You
can't hear it, but we're singing you happy birthday on here.
The old 3-8 for Coach Nolan.
To you. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday,
dear Nolan. That's enough of that shit.
Yeah, I couldn't even hear the birthday song and I was over it. I was over it. So, I think the proper thing to start our sports talk is college football coaching moves, right? Like, how fucking insane has this been?
Not that insane. I mean,
what do you mean not that insane?
People are gonna move.
People broke the fucking internet. I think Lincoln Riley broke the fucking internet whenever.
And if it wasn't broken when Lincoln Riley left,
then Brian Kelly
fucking just stomped on it.
Yeah, it was.
LSU is a big job. You knew at USC too. You knew it was going to be somebody significant.
But Notre Dame.
No,
you let Notre Dame.
Yeah, who was ranked number 6th in the country
with a chance to get into the playoff, and he left.
He split. At least Lincoln Riley was like, "All right, we're out of this. Let me go ahead and go."
The crazy thing is Brian Kelly's contract that he signed was 10 years, 98, 95 million.
95
I'm pretty million. Sure they offered, LSU offered Lincoln Riley like 12 a year. Brian Kelly's making 9.5.
Which, I mean, the Riley going to USC makes sense. I mean, he's a young guy. I think he fits in well with the West Coast. I think he fits in well with that culture. Brian Kelly, I think it's a, you know, square peg in a round hole. I just don't see that working.
Yeah, the South.
And I get why he left in a sense of they're making a big deal with conference champions for the playoff. And nor are they playing the conference, nor are they going to get in the conference anytime soon. Two, they're going to be, it's easier recruiting in LSU than it's Notre Dame. You got a bigger base with Louisiana, Texas, Alabama, and all of that South talent. Plus, you don't have the academic restrictions
yes,
that Notre Dame
that's
has.
A big one, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But still, his personality, I would be shocked.
Well, it wasn't their first choice.
Well,
the other thing, too. You know, right. So that's.
Well, no, coach. It's always their first choice. Whenever they get the job, that's always the first choice. Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you there. It's
pretty sure their first choice was.
Well, Lincoln Riley did.
Lincoln Riley.
Yeah.
Lincoln Riley did say Saturday he was not going to LSU, and he.
They just asked him the wrong question. They said, "Coach, are you going to LSU?" He said, "I'm telling you right now, I am not going to LSU." Next morning, walks in the facility, says, "Fellas, going to USC." Gets on a plane and fucking books right out of Norman.
The shittiest part of all that is the next day he comes out, does his media rounds, and talks about how he hadn't decided that until after they had lost. Even though he had his whole staff on a plane the next day. Look, okay, 2 out of the 4 of us are married here, right? Like,
right.
You're not moving halfway across the country from Oklahoma to California. And then all those guys on his staff who are married are not moving from Oklahoma to California without their wives having a say and knowing and preparing.
Where would you rather live? My girlfriend came home today and said, "Hey, I took a job in LA. We're gonna be millionaires." You're telling me you'd be like, "Oh, let me think about it."
Well, he's already a millionaire.
But
you're living in Norman, Oklahoma.
My point is, he's full of shit.
He's not full of shit because he
is full of shit.
Your girlfriend's still gonna tell you, "Hey, this is the offer. I think we should do it." So it's not like he got on the phone apparently after the loss, right? Interviewed for 45 minutes and then decided.
It's on report said it was a matter of like a few hours.
It's bullshit.
That happened that morning.
Which I'm pretty sure everybody knows Roy Williams, right? OU great, Dallas great. I love that guy. He was
the reason why we have a horse collar rule.
He was a badass. He tweeted earlier this week that it's in the rumor mill that Lincoln Riley bought a house in L.A. 2.5 weeks ago.
Yeah, but then why lie about it? Just be like, hey, you know what? My time at Lincoln is great, or Oklahoma is great.
I believe that he didn't make the decision until he made the decision.
I think he was just waiting until there was no shot in the playoff, there, probably. But
if you're smart as a coach, you're going to put out feelers. You're going to put out feelers for, you know, what's out there, your agent. And that's the thing. Lincoln Riley didn't do any of this. He's just getting word from his agent.
Well, I know, but why lie? Why not just come out and say, yes, this is, I think it's time. Different opportunity, new challenge, getting to go to the West Coast.
He did like, say
the
that.
Part to me was, no, he, the part to me was badass.
First part of that first morning, he was talking about how he had just decided.
Is the fact that, like, when this broke, it literally, like, broke the internet because nobody saw USC in the picture.
Right.
Everybody was like, oh, it's going to be LSU. If he leaves, it's going to be LSU. It's going to be LSU. It's going to be LSU. And then out of nowhere, Lincoln Riley leaving for USC, and everybody was like,
It's been rumored for 2 or 3 years that he was going to get out of Norman.
Oh, yeah.
There was talks a few years ago that he was going to go to Dallas. They wanted him to go to Dallas and be the head coach of the Cowboys, which I never saw that happening because I think he's a college football coach. But shit, man, it was definitely a shot to my heart.
Here's the thing with that, though. I don't think he's going to leave. He's not going to leave for about 5 or 6 years. But because of what Cliff Kingsbury is doing, who had a losing record at Texas Tech, got fired. I mean, fired, and he gets an NFL head job. And now he's 9-2 and probably the runaway for coach of the year. Lincoln Riley is that guy on steroids. I mean, it's the same type of offense, same type of structure. It boggles my mind. And here's my just another little kind of off topic here, but who the hell thinks that Cliff Kingsbury is going to leave the NFL to go to Oklahoma?
They were pressing hard for him, but I don't see that happening.
They throw him enough money.
Why would you want to go? The NFL, you're proving that you could win. Now, is it a fluke this year? Who knows? I don't know. But you're winning with Kyler Murray, who
is a baseball player.
Come on.
He's a baseball player.
Heisman Trophy winning baseball player.
I don't believe
first rounder in both.
That's pretty impressive. That is impressive.
At like 5'10"
Crazy. Yeah, I mean, he's like 5'4" slinging the ball around. We get it. Short people can play, Rick. We get it. I don't know. The whole who started the whole King. Why would Kingsbury move? And then now you have to make boosters happy. You got to go out and recruiting. And you get asked, you know, this is why all these college guys go up to the NFL is because they're tired of recruiting. And I would, too. When you recruit a kid who commits, and then a year and a half later, he flips to, you know, buttfuck you because they offered him a better bag money than that you offered. But
I think it's stupid how the Oklahoma, like, players were just dogging on Lincoln Riley.
Yeah. They were upset because he didn't say anything about it.
I mean, that's the thing.
I mean, I get it, but
as a coach, you preach like family and trust.
Yeah, I get that. Yeah,
we love each other. We're a unit. And then
one day
it's like, oh well, sorry fellas, I'm out. Like, of course you're gonna get shit on.
I mean, well, yeah, I understand. You know, you're upset, but like once you put it on the internet, it ain't coming off, no matter if you delete it or not. So that's why you know. What is it? Antonio Brown's the one that said, keep your emotions off the internet? Or that OBJ, whoever the one said it. Like, you got to really keep your emotions off the internet.
Yeah.
Like, you have the right to be pissed off. You have the right to be upset and call them every name in the book.
Oh, I'm pissed.
Like, you have every right to. But once you put it on the internet, there's no getting rid of it. There's not. And, like, if anything, like, you're putting that on the internet, like, as a player, okay? Now, let's say you know, that kid decides, one kid tweets all this stuff about Lincoln Riley or whatever. He decides, you know what, I'm going to go play, so I'm going to enter the transfer portal. You're telling me you pick up a kid who just dogged on his coach?
No.
I don't like what Brian Kelly did because they still have a chance, right?
Oh, yeah, that
It's a very big possibility.
According to the outside chance.
It's an outside chance.
They're on the coach.
But, you know, they dissed they diss the players all the time for not playing like in these bowl games when they're
yes.
fixing to be draft picks, right? They, you know, they dog them out and say, oh, well, they should be playing these games, you know, whatever. What? But there's coaches every year that make changes, and they don't coach the bowl game. For a few years there in Wisconsin, every few years, Barry Alvarez came out of retirement because he would coach the bowl games because the coaches would leave and take another job.
Like, so Bob Stoops is doing.
Isn't Lincoln Riley the one that a few years ago some of his players sat out and he came out and he said, like, that kid was making a financial decision or something like that?
I don't know.
There was people from Oklahoma that sat out.
There was somebody from some school, I can't remember, it was a few years back, where they came out and they were like, you know, they were asking them, you know, how do you feel about your player sitting out this game? And he was like,
you know who I think it was?
Do you fault
him? I think it was David Shaw whenever McCaffrey sat out. I think it was him.
That I know, Glover, the defensive lineman at U of H that 1 year, too, got a bunch of black for sitting out when he was going to be a first-round pick.
Yeah, I mean, like,
coaches do it all the time.
Yeah,
and it's for financial reasons, right?
Because but he's
trying to get ahead of the recruiting and all that.
There was a coach that came out and said, like, fault him for that. Like, I mean, he's making a decision for his future.
There's a bunch of people on both sides of that fence. I just, you know, it's hard, especially in that position, like going to a bowl game when you don't have a coach.
Yeah. And I still hate Colt McCoy because I think if Colt McCoy freaking mans up and plays against Alabama when he got hurt in 2008, they freaking win the national championship.
I agree.
Now, Alabama still goes on and has its dynasty because they were on the come up, but that year was Texas.
You know what? And I hate you because you had a junior high basketball game that night, and I had to work that stupid basketball game, and I missed half the game.
You're right. You can hate I was even more because he was the coach. And
that was true.
Yeah. Holy shit, dude.
Dude, that...
That's so right.
Crazy.
That got home and then Colt McCoy wasn't playing.
Yes,
I was like,
yeah.
What the hell?
I remember my dad telling me that because Colt McCoy's out. And I was like, dang, like... But yeah, now you probably live in San Antonio, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
So you probably got home and
I got home. The game was basically over. I was like, "What the hell?" of course I had one other game. The moves are crazy. Question. Lincoln Riley in the playoff. How many years does it take, if at all?
I think they're back in the major bowl next year, and they. Possibly
I think that they probably win the Pac-12 next year or the year after.
Well, winning the Pac-12 is not that hard.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
But they were fixing to give Oregon a shot if they don't lose last week. But
as we said back in August when we started this, Oregon's going to do Oregon things, and they're going to lose something.
The base is there in California. Yeah. And he's already had four major recruits that were going to Oklahoma flip. Smith was telling me this today, I think, that there's stories starting to come out where the recruits were in people's houses.
Oh, yeah, there was
a recorded recruits when you go to Oklahoma as they're recruiting other kids on their phone to come to USC. Yes. Like,
what? That came out last night. I don't remember what the coach's name was, but he was in a kid's house in OU stuff. Recruiting him to come play at Oklahoma, he was on the phone at the same time with the kid trying to get them to go to USC.
And that's what I mean. They acted like this was all of a sudden. No, they had a plan. He knew that kid was from California, the stud 5-star quarterback that just
the one that's and the one was, said,
yeah,
this feels right. I'm coming home.
I signed to Lincoln Riley, not to Oklahoma. Yeah. No, they knew what they were doing. I think. It's a shrewd
Lincoln Riley gets quarterbacks to win Heisman trophies and gets them in the league. That's what he does.
And they're gonna find California is full of offensive linemen. They're gonna have protection for them. They can find a running back.
California is a hotbed to recruit, especially on the West Coast. Everything west of Texas pretty much comes from California.
He's gonna be playing at midnight. But
did you hear Smith's theory on Spencer Rattler?
Mm. Oh yeah, you told me about that. Yeah. They told him to kick the season.
Yeah, that's a way out there theory. But my theory was, in case anyone's wondering, that Lincoln Riley knew in the beginning of the year that he was going to go to USC, so he told Spencer Rattler to shit the bed and play bad so he could start Caleb Williams, and then Spencer Rattler would transfer to USC whenever Lincoln Riley goes.
Spencer
to
Rattler
USC.
Is going to end up.
That response was the incoherent rambling, and because of that, we're all dumber.
Well, it's not. I didn't say it was a good theory. I just said, you know, that would be pretty crazy if Spencer Rattler decides to go to USC.
He's not going to go to USC.
He's going to go to Arizona State or some shit.
Well, he's from Arizona.
Yeah.
I could see him going to one of those, Arizona State. Probably Arizona State because it's party school.
Lincoln Riley gets him the playoff by year three, if not in year two. I think he takes the Oklahoma mentality and gets his ass whooped in that playoff. If it's still a four-teamer, he'll get his ass whooped. And he's going to do good, probably the way he does with Oklahoma, get him in that game year in, year out.
Win the conference championship.
Make five, six years from now, he'll be the new head coach of the San Diego Chargers, who are now in Los Angeles.
Now, Oklahoma is also going to the SEC, so maybe that had a part in it, too.
He says no, but if I'm Oklahoma,
and
I'm getting my ass whooped every year by the SEC in the playoff, I've had this argument with others before, the SEC is a top-heavy conference. And really, there's three teams that work. Not so much this year, but there's Georgia, Alabama, and then there's everyone else. Everyone else is part of the world. I think LSU could get to that point. I don't know if they can do it under Brian Kelly. But Auburn doesn't, put the fear of God in me. Texas A&M, go fuck themselves. The SEC is not a scary conference. Georgia? Scary. Yes. Bama? Scary. Vanderbilt? Come on. So,
and also, the way that they're going to reconfigure the conference, I think, whenever Texas and Oklahoma go over there, the three best teams in the Western Conference, or the Western Division, I guess, are going to be like A&M, Oklahoma, and Texas, I think. Well, if Texas gets their shit.
I'm just saying,
they're going to be one of the better teams in that conference.
They will.
Because the other ones are going to, maybe LSU will be over there, I think, and then it's going to be like Arkansas and Missouri. Like those.
So why don't you just recreate the Southland
Conference? That's the Southland Conference.
Southland Conference.
I'm just saying. That's
we'll
what
use
it's...
SMU to come on, and then,
That ain't going to happen.
Well, they wouldn't.
Speaking of lower level schools.
I don't think they know what we're talking about.
I know what the Southwest Conference is. I used to have a sweater. Speaking of lower level schools, fucking UTSA finally bit the dirt.
They ate the cheese, like the coach was saying.
Well,
Nolan's been calling for it all year for UTSA.
Finally, right, Nolan.
Well, no, I don't think they're going to fall. Honestly, I thought they were going to go through the year undefeated. I wasn't surprised that they lost. I was surprised they got smacked because they didn't seem.
They gave up pretty quickly. I don't know if you watched the game.
I didn't watch the game.
Two muff punts. Then it was 17-13 at halftime. They came out after halftime and they pulled the quarterback. They pulled other starters. So the writing was on the wall, and I think they were just like, you know what, we're in the conference championship anyway, which I don't think is a good move. I mean, I wouldn't want to go in losing like that, but
I kind of see why they did it. That's what went down.
That's exactly what went down.
I don't know. I think you play to win the game. If you know you're not going to win the game, I can see them pulling it because
the starters, I think, had about one or two drives in the second half.
And then they pulled it. Well, that makes sense why it went from like 31-15 to 320-6.
And they couldn't stop the run.
Right. Listen, UTSA is a great story, great team. I think it's a really building program. I'm looking at you, people who thought they deserved that higher tier bowl, they just weren't going to get it. Now,
well, I said if they remained undefeated.
Just how the system's set up for them. Now, I would love to see it. I would not want to see it.
They're projected for the Independence Bowl now versus BYU, which you had said.
That's exactly what Nolan said.
They're going to play. It doesn't matter who they're going to, what bowl they're in. They're going to play BYU because BYU is a non-Power 5, Power 5 team. So now this is a great match.
The other projection, I think, was the New Orleans Bowl. I think.
Against Louisiana.
No, against BYU, I think. whatever bowl they're going to play BYU.
But that's the thing. They did the same thing to, I don't know, remember that year that TCU and Boise State were like really, really, really good? And everyone's like, let's see the matchup. And then they put them into a major bowl against each other. And it's the same scenario here. There's nothing they're going to do. I would love for my Boilermakers to go against UTSA. And
there is the Boilermakers coming on strong the end of the season.
Here. I mean, I want to see them play a Power 5. Let's see. You know, they beat Illinois. Illinois got there. The year went on. Still dog shit. Right. But I want to see them play like a Mississippi State. You know, I think Mississippi State would be a good game. I want to see them play.
Arizona State.
I want to see them play, you know, a middle round.
Pitt. Maybe Pitt.
Pitt.
That'd been interesting.
You know, and you
Smith's Boiler.
Yeah.
Kenny Pickett, baby.
You know, so I feel.
There's just so many bowls, too. I get it. The schools get money.
It's like a participation trophy.
Sponsors get money. But there's just so many of them. I mean, like, literally, you guys, I think the first bowl is, like, December 8th or something.
Yeah. December 17th.
Those games are like, you can suck, but as long as you don't suck that bad, you're going to play an extra game.
If you can, you got to win six games, right?
Not necessarily. There are some 5-win teams that get invited.
Not enough people go 6-6.
I think it was maybe 4 or 5 years ago. One of the first years that Texas State, right, of course, you know. Talking about the dog shit bowl here, but Texas State won seven or eight games, and they were bowl eligible, and they got passed up from like the one or two bowls that they were eligible. I think they got passed up for Pitt in one game, and then for like Bowling Green in another one, just because they figured they'd travel better. They're kind of established programs,
yeah.
Even though they had less wins or whatever, so. I mean, it's about trying to get people to go to these games,
right?
And alumni and
the two things, and I know I get why they do this, but the two things that's wrong with the bowl season is you got conference ties. Mm-hmm. You know what? So I mean, I would love to see Purdue back in the Alamo Bowl, but they don't have a conference tie in there.
Well, because it's a Pac-12.
It's a Pac-12 and, Big 12 team,
which actually. You know, year after year, right now it is in our backyard, but year after year, the fucking Alamo Bowl is
pretty
probably
good.
One of the best bowl games there is. Like every single year. And this year, probably no different. I know I tried to cheer Smith up the other day when they lost to Oklahoma State.
They could play.
Because I could sense from my house.
The projection says Oklahoma versus Oregon in the Alamo Bowl.
That'd be badass.
Oklahoma's playing there, I'm fucking going.
Well, Oklahoma's going to be there because I think the third place team of the Big 12. The thing is that whoever loses between Utah and Oregon because of losses would then end up being the third team in the Pac-12, which would then make them go to the UMP. So it's either going to be Oklahoma, Utah, or Oklahoma.
Which I think either one of those are good games.
I told Smith, let's go.
That's a great
game. I think it's on the 29th, by the way. Mm-hmm. So,
but
I'm in.
I'm down.
Like I said, big Cubs moves. They got Marcus Stroman.
Ooh.
Ooh, wow.
Who?
The Cubs.
Gives a fuck.
I can hear that. Got him. No, like I said, with the bowl, I just don't like conference tie-ins, but I get why they do it. I just wish you rate the bowls from, I mean, the first bowl game, I think, is the Bahamas Bowl. Who wouldn't want to go to the Bahamas? I mean, basketball tournaments all the time.
I was part of that school,
if I was part of a school that was like, hey, we're good enough to make a bowl game. But if we suck a little bit more, man, we might go to the Bahamas and be like,
hey, nobody's in the stands. Right. For the coaching staff and the kids, I bet it's a freaking blast.
Man. And I'll tell you what,
Does Vegas have a bowl?
Yes, they do. And Purdue might go to the Vegas
bowl. And now, I think it might be in the Raider Stadium.
Yeah, it's in Allegiant.
So now it might be become more prestigious.
Yeah. So, but back to my point, it was I just wish they would put them in a pecking order. Like, you know, you get a pick. And that way we get to see cool matchups. Like, Oklahoma and Oregon is a cool matchup. I would think seeing UTSA versus a middle Power 5 team would be a good matchup. And that's what I could see those matchups. I don't want to see a football game played at Yankee Stadium.
which is
the pinstripe.
The pinstripe boy. I mean, who wants
it? It's a novelty. But again, there's so many bowls, and then it's usually like.
But I love them because I sit down and
I'm gonna watch them. It's football.
I'm announcing it right now. Okay, but I'm bringing back the bowl pickups. Right.
Okay.
2 years ago. Last time we did it. It's freaking. I mean,
I took it, baby.
I was really close.
I did. Never
did you
mind.
Take it?
Yeah, it was me because I was one of the only. Me and House were the only ones that took Texas to beat Georgia.
And I think I was third.
Oh yeah.
That's the one that won it for me.
And it makes it a lot more interesting because you really do sit down and watch the bowls. Now, of course, my son 1 year just picked based on the mascot when he was like 6 years old. He almost won the whole thing, but it makes it so interesting.
Pick on who has the coolest jerseys.
Yeah, 15-20 days of watching bowls, like just nonstop.
Makes bowls important.
Yeah,
that's like a Christmas break tradition. Like just watch bowl games the entire
time. I give myself a case of Big Red, a big bag of Cheetos, those little cheese balls things, and just watch football, taking notes, and drinking and eating.
That's not what I drink watching bowl games, but.
Well, you don't do it right.
I mean, you don't think that Grambling and Jackson State would be a good game?
I like that. You know why? Because they put on a badass halftime
show. That's usually like the first one, too.
The Seven Bowl or something like that, the Bayou Bowl. But going back to UTSA, I feel bad for them. I feel bad for BYU because they're being forced to play UTSA. But bowl season.
We're also
feel bad for UTSA because they are charging like $85 a ticket.
For the conference game?
For the conference championship
game. That's on Friday.
Yeah.
Even before
they sold out of like the tickets to the university, which were like $15 or $20 or something.
Mm-hmm.
But now all you have is secondhand tickets, and some of them are like $300 for, you know, third row on the 50-yard line or something, you know, which is crazy.
Ridiculous.
And apparently they're estimating it's going to be above 45,000, 50,000 people. The most that the UTSA game has ever had was 56,000, I think. Nice.
It's going to look real nice from my couch.
On Friday,
we're creeping up on some pretty good conference championship games here. Like, whose eyes are not going to be glued to that SEC championship?
Everything's on the line there.
Saturday.
I think they got the 4 o'clock slot. I think the Big Ten's got the 7 o'clock slot.
I'm going to watch that 11 o'clock Big 12 just because Oklahoma's not in it.
Right. Well, you got to do that.
I'm not going to watch it because of that. You know how long it's been since I've missed a Big 12 championship game? Never, because Oklahoma's always in the motherfucker. Now I'm not going to even watch.
Well, Oklahoma State is, so like Oklahoma.
Oklahoma's still technically
I am going to root for Oklahoma State just off the fact that if they win, Big 12 will get a bid. I'm a homer. I am a homer. I'm an OU guy. But I will root for the Big 12 in every single bowl game.
So everybody wins, okay, except for obviously the SEC champion, because one of them is going to get a loss. If it's Alabama, are they out of the top four?
Yeah.
Yes.
If they win, they're both in the top four?
Yes. Yeah. I think if they win, they switch spots. Bama goes to one, probably. Georgia goes to three.
If they don't lose.
And that was going to be my next.
But that's a big win, Rick.
Comes a bad loss.
Who are they playing?
Iowa.
I don't think Iowa beats Michigan.
No, I don't think so. I think Iowa's terrible, but.
They're in the Big Ten Championship. They're not that bad.
Y'all said something about it earlier, too. It was like, well, what if all of those teams?
There is a possibility that, like, Alabama, Michigan and Cincinnati lose. And then right there at five is Oklahoma State.
What if they lose?
Could lose, too. And then it's complete and utter chaos.
That's what Nolan said earlier, is they're taking into consideration that Notre Dame doesn't have a fucking head coach no more. So they're not going to let them in because they don't have a head coach.
If all four of those teams lose, then Notre Dame's got to go because they only have one loss, right? They have to make it.
Well, you would think.
You would think so, but
you would think.
But then maybe fucking Baylor slips in.
Well, they got two losses.
Baylor's
conference champion.
Could this be the year where a two-loss team is in the playoff?
don't know.
I think it's a slim chance, but it's a chance.
Alabama two-loss team a couple years ago? Or?
No, they didn't.
No, Alabama's never been.
There's ever been a two-loss team.
Well, I think Alabama lost the SEC game.
I think Cincinnati
got in.
Yes.
I think Cincinnati's finally going to lose, and it's going to be
First off, Cincinnati's not going to lose. How about this?
Cincinnati's going to lose. I really do. Because they've been playing with fire lately.
Cincinnati's going to... And the last couple games, though, they...
Not Ricky Fire, though.
Not Ricky Fire. We've been down that road. All right, so Bama loses. Out. Michigan loses.
Out. That's how Pat Magic
says. Cincinnati wins. No, okay, Cincinnati loses. Oklahoma State loses. Notre Dame doesn't play.
In.
Ohio State doesn't play.
In.
Yeah.
Baylor
wins the Big 12.
They're in.
I'm telling you.
Or Oregon wins. Baylor wins. Oh. Who do you take? And they're, mind you, they're both two lost teams.
If Alabama loses, Oregon wins. Oregon's a conference champion. They have
but so is Baylor.
Yeah, so it was
I thought you said Urbana. Oh, Oregon or Baylor.
Oregon or Baylor. They both are conference champions. They both have two losses.
It would come to the worst loss or the worst or the best.
I think the best win for them would be
Oregon. I'm rooting for chaos on Saturday. I'm rooting for all those teams to lose because I want to see how that committee puckers up. And I bet you it was going to happen if all those teams loses in Bama. Bama gets that slot. Gets a slot, and it's going to piss me off.
Bama gets the fourth spot.
Won the fourth spot. Yeah, that's going to piss me off. Yeah. With two losses.
So then
Jordan gets in there.
It would be like
I'm not going to lie,
Georgia.
But I get it.
Notre Dame.
Ohio State
and Alabama probably.
I think I would be mad. I think it'd be mad if Ohio State gets in.
I would be mad too.
I would be mad regardless.
Well, Georgia's not going to lose. Let's be realistic.
Really? The death sentence.
Georgia. Georgia and everybody else. Let's be real.
I feel like every time that we say someone's head and shoulders above, they fucking lose.
Georgia knows with a loss,
they're gonna be like
Bama.
Well, they want the conference
championship. Yeah, let's go get the conference championship. Let's get Alabama out of this shit show. Yeah. Right. That way we don't have to deal with them.
You can be the death sentence. You'd be the death sentence for Alabama. But again, if all those teams lose, I think Alabama gets in. It's going to piss me off. But with that said, Georgia defense, phenomenal.
Yeah, they're
Georgia offense, not
average.
Average at best.
Georgia's defense in like, I think it's like, yards per game, points per game allowed, rushing yards, passing yards, like those four things, they're either number one or number two.
Yeah, they're ridiculously good.
Their defensive line is incredible.
Their defensive secondary should be is my vote for the Heisman, even though he only has 24 tackles, because he disrupts everything. He is a disruptor. I can't.
Who's that?
Jordan.
From Georgia?
Yeah.
The DT?
Michael?
Yeah.
He's a stud.
He is an absolute stud.
He's in the backfield.
Right. With that said,
he lives back there.
Alabama's defense isn't too shabby.
Yeah.
So now it takes one. Was it Stenson Bennett now starting? Or what's his damn name? God damn, he's the walk on for.
What are you talking about?
For Georgia. It takes one pick six away to lose that game.
Oh, yeah. There
you know what I'm saying?
What's his name went out? J.K. Daniels.
Yeah. I want to say it's Spencer Bennett, but I don't know.
Some shit.
Yeah. Well, Michigan's defense has two projected top five
defensive lines. Michigan's defense is really good.
Their defensive line. They have two projected first round.
I mean, top five.
I don't think Michigan loses, but I do think they play a real shitty game.
Oh, I think so, too.
And I think it's just because they have a really big... Like, you just beat Ohio State for the first time in years.
Since Denard Robinson beat him.
John Harbaugh is fucking dirty, on cloud nine right now. And so, like I said, I think they played bad, but I still think they get a win.
Yeah.
But what if they don't?
Against Iowa, though.
What if they don't?
Almost anybody else but Iowa.
Iowa.
What if they don't?
Iowa makes me mad because...
Of course, that would be just like Jim Harbaugh.
Remember whenever we went
through, hey, you're in. All you gotta do is win this game and you are going to the playoffs, and him to say like,
you remember whenever we went through Jim Harbaugh's, like, even his NFL stuff, and he never wins the big game. He wins a big game every once in a while, which was that Ohio State game.
That would be
some fucking Jim Harbaugh shit if he fucking loses this championship game.
Mm-hmm.
And they get left out because they don't get it together. I don't think it's going to happen. I think they're leaps and bounds better than Iowa.
What's going to happen, as much as we're rooting for chaos, is going to be Georgia wins, Michigan wins, Cincinnati wins, and
Oklahoma State wins.
No, and Oklahoma State wins, and that's, and I'd be perfect with those four teams.
I think it
becomes a Georgia stomp show. But that second seed, third seed semifinal game,
which would be what, Michigan and Cincinnati, probably.
I bet you Oklahoma State jumps Cincinnati. Cincinnati has hit the ceiling of what they could do.
But they're blowing teams out, and that's why they
keep, not lately.
But they're still winning by more than two touchdowns. I mean, it's not like the last minute scores. I mean, they're blowing the shit out. Even their games, they're close, but it's a...
You think they're getting bored and just like...
Yeah. Well, and also, too, when you're playing a conference team, the conference games are hard to win sometimes because it's the same film.
Those teams have 5 years of film.
Six years of film. It just goes... It's like...
Especially if it's the same coach.
The same coach, yeah, exactly. And I don't...
I'm with you, Nod. Yeah. I'm ready for chaos this week.
I'm waiting for chaos. I am too,
but I don't think
that there's... Georgia wins and everybody else loses, and who the fuck are you going to put
in? You know, I did see a stat. I guess there's been 7 years of the college football playoff. This be going to be the eighth one. And so that means that there's been 28 total spots, right, for the college football playoff. Out of the 28, 20 of them have been occupied by four teams.
Right.
Alabama,
Ohio State,
Clemson, and Oklahoma have occupied 20 out of the 28 spots. That means that there's only 8 other spots that were magical.
That 1 year that Georgia had a couple. Washington got curb stomped.
Georgia got in a couple times.
Georgia's competed very well. I remember that year, I think Michigan State got in. Well, that ugly. And everyone knew it was going to be out. Notre Dame got in a few times.
And got stomped.
Yeah, so... I don't know. I'm ready for chaos.
They've been on the downfall ever since Manti Te'o had a fake girlfriend.
People
don't forget.
But I don't know. It should be an exciting weekend. I'm excited for it. Because I'm going to a Brazilian steakhouse on Saturday for my birthday. Nice. And I'm going to eat my face off.
You're going to eat meat till you get gout?
I'm going to eat meat till I get gout. So, on that note, we'll be right.
All right, so after that 40-minute college football talk that we had, which was very fun, by the way, I guess we'll talk about a little bit of NFL. So, you know, Thanksgiving is always a big NFL day.
Oh, come on, man.
And I sat down with my family, who's all Cowboy fans, just like you guys, to watch Dallas. And I kept saying Oakland, but Las Vegas. How the fuck did Dallas blow that one?
The officials.
No, it's not the fucking officials, dude.
Dallas fucking sucks.
Okay, I wouldn't say all that.
I wouldn't go that far.
They fucking suck.
Now, if the Cowboys hadn't fucking ruined my Thanksgivings for like the last
6 years
in a row, like, because like they never covered on Thanksgiving 9 straight games.
Who gives a fuck?
Now, there was the most penalties there had ever been in an NFL game, guys.
I understand that, but that's not the reason the Cowboys fucking lost. The Cowboys lost that game because they lost that fucking game.
Dude!
Because their defense couldn't stop. Because Anthony Brown can't cover fucking air.
He got four interference penalties, right? All of them on third down. All of them leading to scores. Like, well, what the fuck, man?
Derek Carr torched Dallas, dude. He fucked y'all up. Because I have Josh Jacobs, and he didn't do very much in fantasy. Derek Carr balled on y'all motherfuckers.
Now,
That's what y'all get for getting big-ass heads.
Everybody has fucking COVID in Dallas, so we're fucking short like all these fucking people. CeeDee Lamb has a concussion, right?
He's going to be back. Look,
they're not going to win because fucking Dak fucking didn't have anybody fucking throw to, man.
Dak sucks.
Fucking Michael Gallup was fucking the leading receiver. Fucking, they couldn't run the ball because they were fucking stacking the box on fucking Zeke. He's fucking hurt. Like, it's fucking unraveling. It's fucking unraveling on
him. Dude, you know, he's gonna have a goddamn Cowboys fan
fucking Thanksgiving.
He's gonna have a goddamn Cowboys fan freaking
this shit.
Making all kinds of excuses. Goddamn, I'm a Cowboys fan too.
I'm getting the fuck out of here. Fuck you. Fuck you. You're cool.
Damn, he really walked out.
He really walked out.
But that wasn't loud enough.
He'll be back.
The door won't snap.
Door. This fucking guy, he really just walked out. But, you know, getting back to...
It's a nice journal, huh?
It is a nice journal.
Getting back to the NFL, it kind of seems like stuff's starting to lay out maybe the way that we thought that it would, other than a couple of surprise teams here and there. Miami's kind of started to get it together a little bit.
I feel
like whenever Brian Flores has a starting quarterback that can stay upright, they win games.
I think we don't know anything that's going on with this NFL. And it pisses me off that Green Bay is probably going to get a one seed.
You're too far away from the microphone.
I don't give a shit where I'm at. You know what I'm pissed off about? Monday, I get word. Nagy's getting fired. I'm excited. I'm pumped.
After Thanksgiving, he's been fired.
As soon as he steps out the field, fired. Motherfucker still has a job. Liars!
That's what I'm upset about. So
the worst thing that happened to him
was winning that
game. Was winning the game.
Yes.
Like, because now you're fucking with him.
And we're stuck.
You're stuck with Nagy, man.
Yeah, I was looking. I don't think it's going to happen, but the freaking Bears are a three-game winning streak away from being a contender into the playoffs. That's how bad the NFC is, right? The freaking Washington, I used to be Redskins, but now I'm a football team, are the seventh seed in the NFC playoffs.
Yeah, they are.
Come on!
I think Minnesota's always sitting around that 500, and they're constantly going in and out of the wild card. I don't know if they're in it anymore.
They weren't because fucking Washington won, but they were the seventh seed.
Yeah, they always just kind of bounce in and out of there. But we've seen, like, the NFC's ridiculous. Minnesota's not that good this year. I mean, Kirk Cousins is actually playing really, really well. But
yeah,
but fuck that dude because I don't like him. Minnesota beat Green Bay the other day. Green Bay's a lot of people's favorite to get, one of the guys to get to the NFC Championship. People love them. I think it's probably just because Aaron Rodgers is there, but they really like that Green Bay team, and Minnesota beat them last week.
What I love is setting up is that the Cowboys are playing really awful right now, like really, really bad, and Washington is beating some teams that they shouldn't. And I'm going to that game right after Christmas, Sunday night in Dallas. Right, and that could very well be for the NFC East.
It's like, going to turn into an important game because
it's going to be a
because Washington's outplaying how good they are, and Dallas is underperforming.
Yeah, and it's going to. I think that game is.
So what you're saying is,
I'm part of history. Yeah.
Well, or they're going to lose because you showed up. It's like the jersey theory with you.
No, that's different. That's different. I fucking wore my Zeke jersey on freaking Thursday.
Did you?
Yeah. For the first time this season.
Should tell you something. Yeah.
Maybe he'll get traded then.
No, he's the only one. He's the only one that hasn't broken that curse. Everybody else is, every time I get their jersey, they get traded or they leave. Or retire. I've had some retire. However, that sounded really good in here.
Well, don't say it, man. I'm trying to make sound effects.
No. I think that game is going to be very, very important, and I really and truly believe that is going to be the game that is going to clinch the NFC East for the Cowboys.
I don't know, man. I think Dallas will end up getting it together. They're too good. They have too many weapons offensively.
I think they win this week against the Saints, even though the McCarthy's out and all the
whole COVID. You know what? McCarthy being out might fucking help them.
Yeah,
because I think I came to the conclusion the other day And I think I might have spoke about this before, about Aaron Rodgers' record the last couple years that McCarthy was in Green Bay. Mm-hmm. But I think that Aaron Rodgers won that Super Bowl in Green Bay fucking despite Mike McCarthy. I think Mike McCarthy, the only reason people think that he's a good football coach is because their defense was always good and they had fucking A-Rod back there slinging it. He's proving right now, well, I would say he's proving right now, but fucking Dallas is actually playing really well this year. But if Dallas was an average team like, you know, they have been in the past, like with Jason Garrett, they would be sitting right at that fucking 500 mark, just like Jason Garrett is. I don't think that Mike McCarthy's a good football coach.
That's what I say.
I liked the pickup at first, but the more I watch him and the more I see him, he doesn't fucking do anything.
I had that theory with Phil Jackson in the NBA. That Phil Jackson was put to coach the Bulls, the Michael Jordan Bulls, who had Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen, Dennis Rodman, all them. Then he left and went to the Kobe Bryant and Shaq Lakers. Like, of course you're going to win with those dudes.
And I also had that same thought with Belichick, too, with Brady, but
Belichick's proven that
shit this year. But the Patriots are fucking playing really well. They're really close to being the number one seed in the AFC, I think.
Yeah, they are.
They're on a 6-game win streak.
They got two games with Buffalo that are like within 3 weeks of each other. Or no, they play
Buffalo this week, and then a game, and then Buffalo
at the game. Yeah, so that's going to determine the
We'll see how that goes.
We'll see how that goes. Maybe it's because the Bears suck so bad, and they'll probably suck for the foreseeable future. I'm trying to get into it, and I think the only thing that I can honestly say about the NFL is you just don't know.
It's a week-to-week basis.
It is a week-to-week basis, and the games are not even overly entertaining either. Like, Monday night, Washington and Seattle was just an ugly-ass game.
I didn't even watch it. I knew that it wasn't going to be worth a shit. You know, I didn't even watch it.
The Thursday game.
I watched Monday
Thanksgiving
night
games. I guess the Raiders-Cowboys was pretty good. And it depends on what side you're on. The Bears-Lions was awful. And what was the Baltimore and... God, I can't remember who it was.
Cleveland.
That was an awful game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so...
I have a theory about Detroit, too.
That they suck.
They're really bad.
Yeah,
Detroit.
They're really bad. But if you watch the game, like, how many games have been played? 10 or 11 or 12, right? Somewhere in that area.
Yeah.
Right? 11 or 12.
Yeah.
They've been within a possession multiple times, like 5 or 6 times. They've been within 3 points a couple of times. They play those guys. If you watch the Lions play really, really fucking hard. They're just not that good, right?
Yeah.
They play hard. And I think that some of that has to be attributed to Mr. Cryer himself, Dan Campbell.
The crying Campbell?
Yeah.
I think part of that has to be attributed to him because he's got that hard-nosed, tough-ass fucking attitude. And I think that his players are taking on his persona and playing hard. Now, Detroit, bad. Yes, we know that. Everybody knows Detroit's awful. They've never been good. But, I don't know, man. I think he may be the right guy. Keep him around for a little bit. Get you some good draft picks because you're going to be bad for a couple of years. Get you a couple of good draft picks in there. Start to build your team up. If they want to stick with Goff, maybe trade that first pick that they're inevitably going to get. Trade down, get some more picks, start to build that roster, and they might be a formidable team in the future.
That's what I would do with their, assuming that they get the number one pick, because there's not a quarterback in this draft class that excites me.
They're definitely not better than Jared Goff, which Jared Goff's not great, but I don't see a quarterback. Kenny Pickett, because I love that guy. He's a stud, but I don't know if he's Jared Goff.
I don't know. I think you keep it, and you will get yourself a stud, maybe on, you know, someone to help protect him.
Well, yeah, I mean, that works.
Or someone on the defensive side of the ball. Because their pass defense is not very bad. You had Jeff Okuda, who got hurt this year and tore ACL. But, I mean, that dude's a stud. Like, he was a stud at Ohio State. He's going to be a stud, I think, in the NFL, you know. He just tore his ACL this year. But, I mean, I could see them getting rid of that draft pick if they're really sold on Jared Goff. Or I could see them keeping that and, like, building everything else. And then whenever they get this quarterback, you know, maybe in the future that they're like, that is our guy.
Right.
They go get that guy.
I think that what I would do if I was in their situation is I would find somebody who's desperate for the number one pick. Maybe they think too highly of a Kenny Pickett, right? Because I think he may be the best quarterback coming out of the class.
Pick, I think the number one pick is going to be that the DN from Oregon.
Okay, so maybe someone's super high on that guy, super hard for him. They have a little bit of capital, and you trade them that pick, maybe get, you know, trade back to their one, maybe get a two or a couple threes or a couple of twos, maybe another one.
You can probably get two first rounds and two second rounds.
And maybe you can pull it to where you get two first round picks next year. Like, right. Detroit's not in a bad spot because I think they have a bad
spot either.
They're buildable.
I agree. They play hard and they're not getting dick stomped every game. But I don't know. They can't.
Oh, I just can't get over the whole thing. Okay, so I have a question to ask. I want to see what you guys' opinion is on this because I'm fairly sold on this fact. Do you think Pete Carroll is past his prime?
Oh, you think he's done?
He's done.
I think he is too.
I think
his defense is outdated. I think his offense is outdated.
What if he goes to Oklahoma?
I quit. Can I quit?
You can't quit a team
that's not an option. You must suffer through
Pete Carroll. Yeah, that's not going to happen. But I think, like, I don't know, dude. They have offensively, their offensive line's not terrible, but it's not bad. Right? They have one of the best left tackles in the game. Fucking, what's his name? Dwayne Brown.
Right.
They have two pretty good fucking receivers in DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett. Now, Chris Carson's hurt, right? I think he's still hurt. He's done. But yeah, fucking Russ, dude. Like, all you have to do is fix that defense a little bit and you're good, but they're only like 3-8 right now or something. I've never seen, since Pete Carroll's been in Seattle, or since Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson have been in Seattle, they have not had a losing record, and they are going to have a losing record this year.
My opinion is, A, Russ is making the decision to Seattle, and I think he's going to want Pete gone. Because
you think it's one of those he's gone or I'm gone things,
right?
Because this is the last year. This is the last year of his contract, right?
I think so.
So either he is gone or I'm gone.
If I'm Seattle, I pick Russ. I pick Russell.
Why? How don't you?
I think he wants out.
How do you not pick Russell?
Well, if you're also Russell Wilson, you probably want to play in a bigger market that has more endorsement.
I don't know. I don't think Russell Wilson's one of those guys that cares about that. I think he wants to win.
He cares.
I don't think so, man. He's so quiet, dude. Like,
you know who does? You know what? Maybe he doesn't care, but you know who does?
Sierra. You don't think she wants him to go play for the Chargers?
I don't think she.
I don't think he's gonna go to LA because they're stacked on quarterbacks. But either, you don't think he won't go to the fucking Giants?
I'll tell you where he should
go. Take that Daniel Jones job that's just begging for somebody to take it.
It's not a bigger market, but I would love to see him go to Pittsburgh. I'd like to see what he would do with Mike Tomlin. And because, let's be honest, Roethlisberger's done.
Tomlin's a great coach, too.
If I'm
looking at coaches in the NFL...
That'd be a good move.
If I'm looking at coaches in the NFL right now, like just right now... Yeah. I'm probably going to go Belichick, obviously, number one, because he's the GOAT. Second might be Andy Reid, but Tomlin's right there.
I think he's top three. I put Reid than Tomlin. And the fact that Tomlin's won games with that shit roster this year and with a noodle arm at quarterback, it's just goes to show. I mean, Belichick shows what he can do when – I mean, injuries happen. And you just
Belichick won seven games with a broken down team, not being able to throw the football.
Then he takes a rookie quarterback who no one talked about really, and stuff.
He was like the fifth quarterback off the board, wasn't he?
And he's probably gonna take him to the AFC Championship game.
It's looking
my
like
shot
it.
Right there,
damn, all the way to the AFC Championship.
AFC Championship,
and game. They're gonna lose two.
They might win.
God.
So you know what I think is crazy about that? The fact that Bill Belichick may win the AFC and sitting in the NFC in Florida is Tom Brady, and he might win the NFC.
That would be epic.
And we could see Tom Brady and the Buccaneers against Bill Belichick and the Patriots, because you know that's how it's gonna be booked.
Oh yeah. It'll be booked. Yeah,
your rivals is gonna be the Cowboys.
Yeah, okay.
I'm telling you, man.
This is a
dream. You don't have nothing else to say, Donald. Don't say it.
This is a dream scenario for pro football fans, not fans of certain teams.
This is not a
everybody
dream.
Wants
this
to see
not,
this.
This is not a dream for pro football fans. This is a dream for the NFL marketing department.
This is a dream for me. I want to see New England against Tampa Bay if that were able to happen.
I want to see anybody but Green Bay versus anybody. Because I don't want to see the pack. I wouldn't watch the game. Honestly, I know we throw a little Super Bowl gig together. I wouldn't watch it.
The last time that Green Bay was in the Super Bowl, I rooted for them when they played the Steelers. I guess.
Yeah.
And they won the Super Bowl.
I did too. Just
I rooted for
Steelers
Green Bay
too.
Because I didn't want the Steelers to win again because they just won a couple years before against Arizona.
I just didn't want them to have more rings than the Cowboys.
I don't give a fuck about that.
I do.
I think I'd rather take a hot poker to the eye than watch Green Bay win another Super Bowl.
I was fucking rooting hard for my boy Jordy Nelson.
Fuck Jordy.
Dude, was Donald Driver on that team still? I think he was. I don't know, man. It was it was fun, and it was just a good time, man. I hate Green Bay because I'm a Vikings guy, right? You know that, but you know. I had to root for him. Just maybe I'm an NFC homer. Maybe I am. I don't know.
See, and I have
maybe I'm a North homer because I think I rooted for Chicago in 2005 in the Super Bowl against.
You have Devin Hester. You got to do that.
You know what was crazy about that? Now that I'm glad you brought up Devin Hester in the national championship that year.
Yeah.
I think it was Ohio. It was Ohio State and
Miami,
LSU or Florida. I think it was LSU. In 06, right?
Yeah, sounds about right.
Ted Ginn Jr. returned the opening kickoff for a touchdown. Ohio State lost.
That's when Ohio State...
Super Bowl. Devin Hester returns the opening kick for a touchdown. Chicago loses.
When you give up...
Did you know that? Did you know that connection right there?
I did not.
That's crazy, right?
It kills me. But anytime you give up 236 yards rushing, and that is the exact amount they gave up rushing that day.
236? Who did they play?
Indianapolis. They gave up 200.
That's the craziest part right there because they played against a Peyton Manning-led football team.
And lost.
And gave up 236 yards on the ground to who? Who was the running back? Edgerrin James?
No, it wasn't James. It was a combination of backs.
Yeah, that's an old-school name.
Edge was a stud.
Edge was a stud. I love Edge. All those Miami... I mean, we could probably do an entire podcast on Miami staple running backs back in the day.
Frank Gore?
I mean, you had Gore, you had McGahee, you got...
Willis McGahee, dude. If his kneecap wouldn't have turned to the back that one time, like went all the way around his knee. I was like in fourth grade when that happened, and I remember talking about it with somebody, and we were just like, that's the grossest thing I've ever seen in my life. Hey, like his kneecap was on the side or in the back or something. Oh, my God. But, yeah, McGahee was a yeah, they did have some good backs
there. They were a staple. I mean, back in the early 2000s, those Miami teams, again, we could probably go on, you know, for another 45 minutes. Those Miami teams were A, fun to watch, B, studs. I mean,
I was pretty young, but I do remember, like, watching whenever I first kind of got into college football. I want to say I was maybe, like, 7 or 8. I think that Ken Dorsey was the quarterback for Miami, and I can remember watching Ken Dorsey, and I was like, I like this. I like football.
I like it. It's fun. Maybe I'll play someday.
Yeah. All right. Well, I was already playing, but I just wasn't really into it. Once I started getting into it, then I started with like, oh, yeah.
All right. I
accidentally became an Oklahoma Sooner.
I'm going with New England. I'm sticking with my Rams. New England Rams Super Bowl. Go, Rick. Who you got?
New England Rams?
Yes.
I'm going to go with... This is tough, boys. This is really tough.
Yeah, no shit.
I just wrote down Cowboys now.
Yeah, I have to go with the Cowboys. I think they're going to get it figured out. I think this is... I feel it, man. I really do. I think it's going to be the Cowboys. And from the AFC, I really and truly think it's going to be the Chiefs again. I want to say the Bills. I really
do. So you're going Dallas and Kansas City?
Dallas and Kansas City. Yeah, I want to say...
I really want to say the Bills.
I feel like if it's Dallas and Kansas City, that's going to be a high-flying, point-scoring fucking game.
Well, we also thought about that with the week before Thanksgiving. That fucking did not work out.
Smith, who do you got?
AFC. Buffalo. I still believe in Buffalo.
I can see it.
I still think they're going to get it done. I got Buffalo in the AFC. NFC, it's really, really hard to go against the GOAT. I'm going to go with Tampa Bay. I got Buffalo versus Tampa Bay.
I thought you were saying the GOAT, Tyron Smith. All right.
I don't even know if he's the best tackle Dallas has ever had.
Yeah, no, probably not. But
I was going to say Flozo Adams, but that dude used to hold like three times a game.
There were so many times my dad being like, why the fuck is that guy still in there?
I remember watching a game where he held like six times. Yeah, and my grandpa had a mug. He drank out of a mug before the Yetis, right? It was like a plastic mug with a handle and a lid. And Flozo Adams got his sixth holding call. And my grandpa didn't get really emotional in sports, but he stood up and he goes, "That motherfucker!" And he threw it on the ground. Boom. First time I ever heard him drop an F-bomb. Boom. Threw it. And I was like, he's really mad at that guy.
Alright. Well, it's December 1st, so we'll see where we're at 2 months from now, but these are our final picks for that.
Whoa, no, you didn't say final.
No,
this is for right now.
Okay, right now.
Our final picks for tonight.
Well, I might change next week.
You can't change it.
You don't know what's going to happen.
We'll have one more because once we figure out the playoffs.
The Jets and the Giants.
That's fair. Yeah. This is pre-playoff. And then we'll
have a, like, right before the playoff. Like, right.
Where's the Super Bowl at this year?
Vegas, isn't it? No, it is in LA.
I want the Jets against the Giants. I'm just kidding. I just always thought that would be really cool if they played each other and it was like in New York, you know? I'm just kidding. I'm sorry.
Alright, well, on that note,
Jesus Christ.
Fucking like NFL. That. You know what, Nolan? We talked about having a herd problem. My herd got a little bit thinned out.
I heard a lot of the herds got thinned out.
But the herd's still here. I have a problem. I need to get them out. What do I need to do?
You know who you need to call?
Who is that?
Bach Trucking.
Brian?
Brian Jubers.
Brian Jubers.
Brian Jubers is staring the phone right now. Ready to take your phone call because you know what?
He's opening the gate right now.
Right now the gate. He's going to call the herd over, get them thinned out some more. Because we can't have herd running around these parts.
Nope. Herd is bad for the community.
It's trouble for everybody. My only issue is that I don't have the equipment needed to haul off the herd that I have.
Well, Bach Trucking takes care of that. Bach Trucking will show up with a truck and a trailer, get the herd where you need to, thin out that herd, because, again, too much herd, bad news.
So what if I need to move some other things that may be with the herd? That's not necessarily livestock, just some other kind of baggage that comes with them.
Yeah, well, with it, Bach Trucking takes all kinds of baggage. They take physical baggage, emotional baggage. They take
emotional baggage.
They take it all with you. They put it in the truck, and they take it out. And he does a damn fine job, too, because, again, I've seen him in work. He's taken places across, you know, Mississippi and back. You know what? He was the original Smokey and the Bandit. All right? He's more of the Smokey than the Bandit. But
Eastbound and Down.
Eastbound down.
I think that show's about him. They just didn't want
to. They didn't want to do that.
People saw him traveling across.
It gets me to thinking, if I had a CDL, a Class A CDL, and I needed a job, I would probably call Brian.
Well, you should call Brian. He's at the phone right now. Wait and take your call. You know who you also need to talk to is a guy named Joe Moore. Joe Moore makes about $2,000 a week because he does a lot of herd moving too. He takes all the baggage with him. He takes them from one state to another state and says, "Get out of your herd. You're free now. Go." And off they go. And gosh dang.
Do they drive Peterbilts over there?
Yeah, Mack trucks. They do Peterbilts, Mack trucks, all kinds of trucks. They do John Deere. They do International. They do all kinds of pulling. So if you need something, call Bach Trucking at Outlook.com,
yeah.
Brian Jubers is right there to answer your calls. So with that, I think we should move on to our sports investments.
It's a whole lot of money in this motherfucker. It's a whole lot of money in this motherfucker.
There's a whole lot of money in this motherfucker.
Let's go.
As they say. So we're going into our sports investments. Coach Alvarez isn't here, which that guy takes up like way too much time whenever he does these investments.
I don't think he understands what an investment is, because he claimed he was 3-0 one week. Then we had to explain to him that the point spread comes to play.
Yes. I'm also positive that every time that he's made picks, he has selected UTSA Dallas. Every single time, which I'm pretty sure one of you guys have UTSA on your board, but I think we're going to figure that out. So let's go to college football. Coach Nolan, let's see what you got. Give me your three, big dog.
Yeah, so hey, we're going to start off with the Roadrunners from UTSA. They're catching three-point dogs at home versus the Red Blobs.
Underdogs.
So UTSA +3 is going to be my lock of the week.
Lock of the week.
And what we're trying to do here.
Lock it down.
4-3 this year. We took off last week for, you know, Thanksgiving holiday. Give thanks. Run away from your bookie. Whatever it is that you wanted to do. But
run away from your bookie.
Yeah. So even the bookie's got to go to Thanksgiving on some day. So I got UTSA +3 as my lock of the week. I think they win that game outright.
I can't believe that they're underdogs at home.
Neither do I. I looked at the lines today.
They one loss. They literally just lost their first game, does it?
Yeah.
To Western Kentucky. Now, I do have a really good friend that is a coach at Western Kentucky. His name's Ben Arbuckle. Ben, if you're listening, shout out to you. I love you, brother, but yeah, you're not beating UTSA in the dome, big dog.
No. So that takes me into my other play. The other plays I like this week is Oregon +3. Now, this scenario happened 2-3 years ago, I think.
Oregon are underdogs also?
Yes, they're playing I think they're playing in Los Angeles.
I think that's where the Pac-12 championship usually is. Is it in the Coliseum?
I think so.
It should be in the Coliseum.
I think Oregon's they're not going to be caught by surprise this time. Utah's not going to jump out to lead like they did. They could do whatever they want against them. So I like Oregon +3 and actually money line to win the Pac-12 championship. I had five games written down. I'm going to give two more. I'm going to give four plays this week. My other one is Bama +6.5 just because this is the first time Bama hasn't been favored in a game in like
ever
7 years, 6 years, 7 years, something ridiculous like that. I think this is a big game for both teams. I just don't see Georgia running away from this one. I know it's, I mean, and I wouldn't mind losing this one. I would love to see Bama get smacked around and to ensure they don't get into the playoff, but I don't think it's going to happen. And then the fourth game I have is Northern Illinois over 73.5 points. A lot against Kent State. Listen, neither team can stop you. They're like giving up 30 points a game. They're scoring like 30 points a game. So I see that thing going way over. And, I mean, in lovely Detroit, Michigan.
Nothing better than Detroit in December, right?
That's right. Love it out there. So those are my four plays.
All right. So Nolan came in with four. Normally doesn't do that. One more time, just for the audience, Coach Nolan, what was your lock of the week?
The University of Texas at San Antonio.
3-point underdogs in the Alamo Dome. That just blows my mind. All right, Coach Gary, you got you a couple of college football picks as well. What do you got for me?
I'm going to agree with Nolan on one. I'm taking Oregon +3 against Utah. It is hard to beat a team twice.
Yes.
It is really hard to beat a team twice. This one's not a home game for Utah no more.
Right.
That first one was. It's still it's still technically prime time, 7 o'clock on NBC. ABC.
ABC.
But it's a Friday night game, not a Saturday night game. Mm. Most people have shit to do Friday night. So not as much people are going to watch this game as it was the first one. I think Oregon's a long shot, obviously, for a playoff spot. I don't think they get in, but they're still hoping for that, and it's an early game as opposed to all the other conference championships. So I like Oregon in that plus three spot. I think, like Nolan said, I think they win that game outright. My second pick, Houston plus 10.5 against Cincinnati. I think Cincinnati wins the game. I think it's very, very close, however. Houston only has one loss on the year. I believe we looked it up, and it was, what, Texas Tech, like week one?
Oh, we do not.
I
don't remember.
I think, me and Ward looked it up because Alvarez's dumb self kept saying it was against Oklahoma.
They haven't played.
And we're like, that was freaking 2 years ago, Alvarez.
Trying to tell me.
That was pre-COVID, bro.
That was like Kyler Murray and shit. You know?
Yeah, so Cincinnati just hasn't been as dominant as they were to start off the year. You're giving them Houston 10.5. I think it's close. I think Cincinnati wins the game. However, I see it like a one-score game between that 3-7 range.
I can see that.
My third pick, Iowa plus 11 against Michigan in the Big Ten Championship.
Plus 11?
Plus like
that one.
11.
Wow.
Only reason I like that,
that
one.
That is a large spread for a conference championship.
I think Michigan wins the game, but I've said it all year long. After a really big win comes
really bad loss.
A really bad loss. Okay? And I could see Michigan slipping up this game and Iowa winning it. However, I think Michigan does win, but I think it's sloppy. It is really, really sloppy. And we talked about it earlier. This is the most freaking John Harbaugh thing to do.
Yeah.
Go out, beat Ohio.
Jim Harbaugh.
I'm sorry. John's out there doing his thing in Baltimore. Jim Harbaugh would be the most thing for him to do. I mean, goes out there, beats Ohio State for the first time in his career at Michigan. Just to follow it up with a loss in the Big 10 championship and a spot at the freaking playoff. Those are my three picks for college football. Nolan, did you want to go into your NFL first, or did you want me?
Oh, well, you know what? People go opposite of me because I suck at the NFL.
But I also suck at the NFL, apparently. Since I got the name Ricky Fire, been down here.
I do want to say that I've only picked one game, and I got it right.
What game is that?
Oklahoma-Baylor.
Yeah, you did.
I'm 1-0, 100%. Never, ever going to make a pick again.
Never, retired at 100%, baby.
Never, ever. NFL. Gosh dang. All right, so I advise you go against whatever I pick because, I'm bad at this. I'm bad at the NFL. First pick is going to be Bengals -3. Chargers are just not good anymore.
In L.A. or in Cincinnati?
Cincinnati.
They might be playing in San Diego for all I know. But, no, Cincinnati, I think, is kind of right the ship. Los Angeles is going to Cincinnati. I don't know what the weather's like in Ohio right now. But generally, December, it's cold and it sucks. So, I like them. Monday Night Football, I like the Bills. Laying 3 points against the Patriots. I think at some point, the Bills are going to rebound. And though the Patriots are my AFC pick, you know, that's a tough game to go into Buffalo with a rookie quarterback. And
that's going
to
be a hell of a Monday Night Football game.
It's going to be a really good Monday Night Football game. And then, God, I don't believe I'm about ready to say this. The Texans catching 9 at home versus the Colts.
That's rough, brother.
It is, but I'm looking at the other games. I just don't see myself. I don't trust Washington, you know, at +2.5. I don't trust the Raiders because, for all I know, another receiver is going to run over a woman and kill them and then cause another distraction. Seattle sucks. So 49ers can't be trusted. The Chiefs 9.5. You can't trust them, and you can't trust Denver, you know. So I'm going to go to Texas +9. So if I was you, I would go Chargers, Patriots, and Colts if you want to win some money. Go ahead, Rick.
First one, I promise you it's not biased. A little bit biased, actually. Let me rephrase that. Okay. Dallas minus 4.5 against New Orleans.
Okay? In New Orleans?
In New Orleans. Okay. Cowboys don't have Mike McCarthy. Might be for the better.
Addition by subtraction.
Yes. Yes, they struggled against the Raiders. If the Cowboys let Anthony Brown back into the facility after Thanksgiving is to be determined. We haven't kind of heard much about it. However, New Orleans don't have a quarterback that can throw the ball very well right now. They have Trevor Siemian, and they have Taysom Hill. Everybody loves Taysom Hill. Right? He's the freaking Swiss Army knife, is what they call him. And I mean, even at BYU, he was tearing things up. However, I think whenever Jameis went down, he was hurt at that time. So they started Trevor Siemian. Then Taysom Hill got healthy, and he gets in there from time to time. They kind of use him the same way they did. Okay? That dude's just going to be a backup his whole life. Like he is. He's never going to be a starter. I think they've proven that because right now you're choosing between him or Trevor Siemian.
Yeah.
And that is true. And they're choosing Trevor Siemian.
I will say this just to back up
here. Let me repeat myself.
They're choosing Trevor Siemian.
New Orleans played what? Sunday, right?
What's that?
New Orleans played on Sunday night? Yeah. No, they played Thursday night.
They played Thursday night.
They played last week on Thursday?
Yeah, they played against the Bills.
I'm about to say because this is another Thursday. So both teams have, a full week because usually I would pick a Thursday going to a Sunday every time with a little bit of extra time to prepare. But since it's a double Thursday for both of them, I don't know.
I don't know if New Orleans is even getting Kamara back. Alvin Kamara. I say Kamara, right? That was weird.
I don't even know what I said.
Kamara. I don't know. Whatever you want to call him.
I don't even think he's playing.
Yeah.
He ain't playing.
They got Mark Ingram too. Mark Ingram is gone. Like, he's hurt. So he's not even playing. I don't see anybody on the Saints team that could really give. I mean, granted, the only person on the when the Saints offense is on the field and the Cowboys defense on the field, there is one man who could lose that game for the Cowboys. And his name was Anthony Brown. Okay. And you just throw it up there, and that guy is going to hold the shit out of your receiver every time. Or he's just going to push him and take it.
Sometimes a PI is better than a touchdown.
Being a boy like that.
Yeah, I agree with you on that aspect. But when you're doing it five times in the game,
that's a little too much.
I'd be pissed. My second pick, Arizona -8 against Chicago.
Bet the mortgage on that one right there.
Okay. Arizona 9-2. I believe Kyler Murray's coming back from what the reports is. He's gonna play this week. Okay. Chicago played on Thursday against a very horrible Detroit Lions team. Got a field goal as time expired to win the game. It's still Chicago. And I know that hurts.
Matt Nagy is still the coach.
Yes.
But it's in Chicago, though, in December. That's cold up there, man. Those Arizona kids aren't used to that.
It don't matter.
The Bears sucks. Nagy sucks. I suck because I'm a fan of the Bears. Go ahead.
It doesn't matter. Yeah. I think Arizona goes in there and just mollywops them. I think it's a 2-3 score game.
I don't disagree with you. I'm just saying, man, it's cold in Chicago, baby.
It is, but that
ain't the Windy City, which technically shouldn't even be called that because technically Chicago is the second most windy city in the United States.
Actually, when I went to Chicago when I was first graduated high school, it's not called the Windy City because of the wind.
No, it's not.
But it
because
is
of a gang or something like that.
It is the second most windy city in the United States, though. You know what the number one city is?
Lubbock.
Amarillo, Texas.
Amarillo by morning.
I just know that because
I always want to go to Amarillo because don't they have that, you eat like a 75-pound steak, you can win a free meal.
Yeah. Yes.
I've been there.
The Big Texan is terrible. Every amount of any food that you get there is not good.
Yeah, it's not. The only thing great about it is the steak. It's not great.
It's not even a good steak. It's just the whole
72
the big
ounce,
steak like, thing. Yeah, all the food there is pretty.
It's pretty awful. It is.
I lived there for 5 years, brother. It ain't worth it.
All right. Your third pick. Anyway.
Third pick. Baltimore -4.5 at Pittsburgh. Okay, P- Pittsburgh's still fighting for that playoff spot. Baltimore's still fighting for that division. Technically, both are still in the running for the division. But Pittsburgh, what's keeping them alive is that tie, to be honest. Because Detroit, I think, should have won that game. But then it was Detroit. And Detroit was real happy to come away with a tie there because it wasn't a loss. But Lamar Jackson, I think, just dominates. I mean, it just seems like those two going head-to-head all the time, they're always great games. They really are. I just feel like Lamar is going to do Lamar things to Pittsburgh. And like he has been since he got into the league. It's 4.5. I think they win between that 7-11 range.
I can see that.
I like those picks. You know what? I'm not going to play my plays. I'm going to play your plays.
Don't do that. Don't do that. Ever since Nolan gave me the name Ricky Fire, it's been downhill.
But those are all solid points. I like it. The Ravens game is really good. Probably not going to touch the Thursday night game. I'm saving my money through Fridays for college basketball, which Friday, guys, anything that Purdue is -8, 9, or 10 versus Iowa, hop on Purdue. They're going to murder the Hawkeyes. That's my gift.
They're fixing to be number one.
They're going to be the number one team in the nation next Monday. And God damn it, I couldn't be happier about
that. Not for long.
They'll be number one until January 11th.
Very specific date.
That's probably when they lose at Michigan. I've been scouting the schedule. So, all right, Will Smith.
You can close it out.
It was a very good night. What do you have to say?
Had a break last week. Giving you guys a break, giving us a break. We tried to pull some stuff together to make it happen last week. It just couldn't. You know, everybody's going out of town or coaching or hungover or, you know, mostly something along
all the above.
Or all the above, like some of us were, namely me. But we do appreciate it, man. We love you guys. Like we've been getting a little bit more feedback, you know, every week kind of. You guys are kind of giving us a little bit of taste of what you want to hear more and more and more. So that really does help us, man. We try to aim this towards you guys. As easy as it is to listen to, makes it easier for us to make it. So hopefully this one, you know, without the script, kind of felt good, felt right. You know, just kind of long form talking on some college football in the beginning. But I think
next week's going to be great because we'll have the playoff pairing. We'll have the bowl system set up.
Oh, yeah. Next week's going to be a big college football week, just like this one was. We may go fucking long form, no schedule again, just kind of off the top of the dome like we did this week. But let us know what you think. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Give us a follow on Spotify. Subscribe. It's available through all podcast platforms. I think you find it on Apple Podcasts, find us on Spotify. If we send you the link, hell, you can listen to us straight off of the app that we recorded off of. What's the app's name, Nolan?
Anchor.
Yeah, you can listen to us straight off of Anchor FM, man. That, you know, that's not a bad way to do it either. You get it maybe a little bit faster than you would on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. But we love you guys. We appreciate you guys. And until next week, this was the Coach's Office Sports Podcast.